sit right back and you'll hear a tale of a fateful trip.
In the year 1831, biologist Charles Darwin began a fateful journey on the HMS Beagle. On that journey, Darwin formulated the controversial theory of evolution, which has impacted society down to this day.
Our goal is to punch holes in that theory, so we'd like to welcome you to
Sink the Beagle.
Fire one, Captain!
Great shooting, Stan. Nice going.
Why, thank you, John. I'd like to see that ship with Charles Darwin's theory of evolution go bloop, bloop, bloop into the deep. I am Stan Hudson.
And I'm John Kurlinski, welcoming you to another episode of
Sink the Beagle,
where we take lighthearted looks at serious issues and sometimes not so serious issues of evolution and creation. Lighthearted because, hey, folks, it's a fun way to go.
Sometimes
we get twice as loopy as the time before, and sometimes we're a little more serious, but we enjoy the discussion. We think that there are issues that infect our lives and how we view our world.
If you only listened to our warm-up sessions just before we record this, you would have fun, I think. But anyway, we are talking today about a great mystery.
Mystery? Women?
Well, you're close. It is in the human family. We want to talk about the mysteries of man, ancient man, actually.
Ancient man. The ook, grab your wife by the hair, drag her into the cave with your club.
That's exactly
right.
And get
married.
Yes.
You call that weddings.
the Neanderthals among us. No, the ancient cave. They still walk. They still grunt. They are among us.
And they graffiti the walls of our life.
You know, as we talk about ancient man today, John, the commonly held theory, of course, as we all came up from the ook, ancient half gorilla, half man type
kind of
ancestors.
Half primitive, half intelligent, half undeveloped, half sophisticated, you know.
Yeah, there's quite a few halves there. But yes, exactly, that we came from that. And, you know, it reminds me of a time I went to Griffith Observatory in Los Angeles.
Oh,
where they had
you were there.
I went to study the stars. No, actually...
You can see something of
Hollywood. You could look down. No,
those are the lower stars.
The lower stars. But I was looking at this program on
dimwits.
No, on Stonehenge in England. You know, those great big stone pillars that were set up by ancient Brits, as they had, I guess, no better thing to do with their time. And they built these huge things weighing many tons, and they the perfect circle. And
you know, Nebraska has this version of Stonehenge.
It's called
Carhenge, where they stack up cars like they did the stones. You got to go there sometimes. It's one of the wonders of Nebraska.
The evolution of man from stones to Buicks or
yes,
whatever
that's
it
about
is.
Right.
Okay.
You got to do something when you go to Nebraska, you know.
Something to see next time I pass through rapidly and look at the corn stalks. But anyway, is looking at this picture on the ceiling of this auditorium, you know, this planetarium, it showed this picture, this artist rendition of these stones being put up. You think, okay, here's a picture of how they were set up. And look at the people. What were they like? And you had these guys in loincloths leaning over halfwards, kind of like, ook, ook. Hey, you know, Chuck, move it over to the left a bit, you know, and move on. it was this image of ancient cavemen somehow or other being smart enough to line up these many ton stone pillars, perfect alignment with various lunar and astronomical features of the world. And it had this image of cavemen. Ancient man must have been all these cavemen walking around.
They weren't wearing Gucci and Ralph Lauren.
No.
And I know. How primitive.
Primitive man. Primitive man, but that was the conundrum. How could primitive
man
make such a structure like this?
And such was a such astronomically fine-tuned detail, mm-hmm. where things are so precise. You know,
yep.
Really the reality is that the true history of ancient man isn't mm-hmm. one of ignorance, but one of actually quite extreme intelligence. That's what the historical record tells you.
Ah.
So in other words, the evolutionary idea of ape to man has to have lesser intelligent forms, yet the known civilized record of humanity is that we were quite intelligent from the get-go, from the first remnants of humanity, mm-hmm. of anything. You find the structures of ancient man being quite sophisticated.
Oh, what are you talking about?
Even like, the biblical record.
Even
we can
the
look
biblical
at
record.
The biblical
okay.
record begins with things like if Noah is an, and we believe Noah, of course, is a historically accurate story and a historically true story. Thus, the ark, you imagine an ocean-going vessel of 450 feet long, 75 feet high and 75 feet wide and 45 feet tall.
Yeah,
you know,
the same dimensions as an oil tanker.
Yeah, to get a structure that large seaworthy took a huge amount of intelligence and technology and understandings to make that happen.
Mm-hmm.
And that's just one example from true history. We believe the scriptures that tell us of these things. And that's biblical history. And of course, you have like the post-flood cities, the great cities, like the Tower of Babel.
They were into big building projects from the get-go.
Yeah. As soon as you got government, you got government expenditure, and you had slave labor. The beginning of taxes.
Okay.
And slavery.
God put an end to that. Hooray!
Yeah, he was going to feed them and everything. And I tell you, we went back to taxes. We loved Egypt and the flesh pots of tax collectors.
Well, you know, the fact of the matter is, John, as you look at on virtually every corner of this planet and you look at the very oldest structures, the pyramids and the ziggurats and so on all around the world, and you look at the building techniques that were employed by these ancient people, you had to wonder, these guys weren't just soon out of the caves.
No, they weren't stupid. They were, you know, and the size and the, you know, just is overwhelmingly, and it does actually be awe-inspired. You could see why people became awe-inspired when they looked upon these things. I mean, the Great Pyramids, example.
Yes.
Those are, and the Great Wall of China, just the wall itself.
Of course.
Engineering wonders. You can see both of those from space.
Mm-hmm.
You know, you can see them from space. That's how big they are. You know, these aren't small scale, little, you know, modular homes.
And that's right. And we're talking about something that, first of all, hits you in terms of size. How in the world do these ancient people design and build and manufacture and engineer these huge buildings with stones? How large did some of the stones get?
Oh, up to 20,000 tons.
20,000 tons is the largest known
stone, that we know of.
That was used in a building project.
And yet, what's the largest crane capacity right now?
About one-seventh of that, about 3,000 tons.
Okay, so the largest crane...
It takes seven cranes.
It takes seven of our modern-day cranes,
largest,
the largest ones we have in the world, which aren't, there are not that many of them, folks, to lift just one of these stones that the ancients moved and set into place.
And many of those structures had smaller stones, but I mean, even rolling around 100-ton rocks, you know, in the building projects had to require something of, you know...
Great technological ingenuity.
Exactly.
And to fit them so tightly... You know, when you look at it, it's not just it wasn't just that they put big stones together and big columns together or massive structures. It was at how all these stones and columns, their measurements were so accurate, they fit together. You can't slide pieces of paper into their joints or anything. It's not like you have big gaps of space.
In fact, the matter is, John, a lot of these things require engineering and technology that we don't have at all today.
We don't understand today. How can we
do
that? Because we, you know, the one thing also, you know, it's not just the huge, though, Stan.
Okay.
They also discovered, you know, that we've discovered historically the minutiae.
Uh-huh.
You know, there was an ancient, off a Greek coast, Greek divers discovered the wreck of an ancient ship sunk around 65 BC.
What'd they find?
And they discovered in that wreck a device of that it was extremely complex system of precision mechanical metal gears, engraved scaled calibrations, thought to be some sort of navigational computational device.
Ah.
You know, the inventors back then who are sailing the Mediterranean, at least the Greeks in the sea, they weren't sitting there going, let me see what that's, you know.
Yeah, hold
your thumb up into the wind, just kind of, it's kind of generally in that direction. They could precisely navigate with their devices and the stars, much like modern ships today.
Yeah, and they didn't know what, they still don't know what this device was used for. It was quite advanced, and like you say, metal, mechanical.
Gears, everything
for calibration of something that helped at navigation. Okay, what else? Anything else like that?
Well, you have in the ancient city of Mohenjo-Daro, the Indus Valley, that's down in India. They believed to be one of the earliest civilizations, had a system of sanitation.
Okay.
That exceeded many European cities that were built thousands of years later that were known for some sanitation. These were exceeding theirs. This was thousands of years ago.
Okay, better than France's modern days.
Well, France still aren't there yet.
Okay,
yeah,
anyway.
They still haven't caught up to that city.
Sorry about that, French listeners.
That's perfume required.
Okay. So ancient civilizations often had sanitary systems that showed engineering beyond... How about anything else there?
Oh, yeah. You have the Roman temples in Baalbek and Lebanon. They, you know, the foundational stone, like you mentioned before. You know, that's large the one stones. Where the, that's where the that was a 2,000-ton stone, and you know, the largest. You know, the, over, and it wasn't just like, you know, in the Middle East. We're not talking just Greek, and they're over in ancient in Mexico and in the in the Mayan cultures. Huge statues and temple ziggurats, and you know, incredible.
And as we talked about a few weeks ago on Sink the Beagle, when we talked about languages, ancient languages, many of the ancient languages were far more complex than they are today, with more terms, more tenses of verbs, and so on, than we have today. More complex than a simple ook ook eek eek from cavemen just out of the caves.
Yeah, they knew, like the ancient Mayans. You know, when you look at it, like in this culture just south of us here, where we're going to be going in the summer. I'm going to be going in a few weeks down there in Guatemala,
Central
and getting
America.
Closer to that, Central America. But they were known, they were able to calculate the length of the Earth, the solar year, to be 365.2420 days long. Modern astronomers have calculated it to be 365.2422. Two ten thousandths of a second.
Whoa,
they were off.
That's pretty
close. And when you consider leap seconds and leap years and all that other stuff, they were pretty close. They worked out, the Mayans worked out that 405 full moons occurred in a period of 11,960 days. And the modern research says, well, no, not quite. It was only 11,959.888 days. Excuse me.
Yeah, you know? What? They can't round it off? Come on.
Come on. They were smart enough to at least round it off, you know.
They calculate the orbit of Venus at 584 days, but it's only actually 583.92 days.
Oh, excuse me, number two.
They weren't very advanced, were they?
You know, so the whole point is that part of evolutionary theory says that man was really stupid, kind of, or evolved, intelligence evolved. The Bible actually just states something quite different. You have a torpedo text there, Stan, that even kind of hints at this, that modern, ancient man isn't so stupid and primitive after all.
Well, you already talked about the Tower of Babel story, which is the very beginning of civilization after the flood, but even before the flood, and for instance, in chapter 4, it talks about metal skills, working in metals and everything, Tubal-Cain being an instructor of every craftsman in bronze and iron, according to 4:22. But here's something that's interesting from Genesis 6:4. It says this: there were giants on the earth in those days, and also afterward, when the sons of men came into the daughters of sons of God came into the daughters of men, and they bore children to them. These were the mighty men who were of old, men of renown.
Men of renown,
mighty men.
The superstars. But these are the mighty men of power and intellect who probably were, and a lot of that intelligence, unfortunately, was they used it for wickedness. They were mighty
in
sin as well.
The next verse says they were mighty in wickedness. Yeah.
Yes, and, but the thing is that intelligence didn't die with the pre-flood world.
That's right.
Noah, obviously building the ark, and the sons of Noah and the civilizations that arose from the ark, again revealed a level of intelligence that is wonderful, and we shouldn't be surprised, because isn't humanity made in the image of a God who is extremely wise, extremely competent, and even when though we are darkened by sin, we have abilities to do wonderful things, you know.
In some ways, man is actually de-evolving. In some ways, morally, maybe physically, maybe a lot of other ways, mankind is actually feeling the effects, groaning under the curse of sin.
As we become, dumbing down has been the trend. We hope that you will...
Not dumb down,
but smarten up.
Yes.
You know, intelligence
listen.
Up as you listen to another
Sink the Beagle.
Thanks for listening to Sink the Beagle. We'd like to send you a special gift just for being with us today. Write to our email address, beagle@lifetalk.net, and ask for your free copy of Dr. Dwight Nelson's book called Built to Last, A Thoughtful Look at Creation and Evolution. Ask for Built to Last when you write to beagle@lifetalk.net. And be sure to listen in next time to another episode of Sink the Beagle.
So join us here each week, my friends. You're sure to get a smile from seven stranded castaways here on Gilligan's Isle.